Welcome, fellow Last Places, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, as you can see in the title, we are going to be talking about episode 7 of She-Hulk, exclusively on Disney Plus. You guys know the drill by now. It is spoilers are ahead. Like, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. Just helps with our visibility and things of that nature. I will be running this one by myself as Chris is still in Portugal. Just a little hurricane update news. Everything is good here. I was lucky enough to not run out of power, didn't go out, and also I had some internet issues, but nothing crazy. It was going in and out earlier today, but besides that, everything else has been really good, so I can't complain. Very happy about that. So let's get right into it. We're talking about episode 7 of She-Hulk. And my first, like I said with this show, I know exactly what to expect from the show. I just tune in every week and expect to have some kind of fun. I've accepted it early, as it was said pretty much in the first episode, that this was going to be a lawyer show. This was going to be based off Jen. So not a lot of MCU movement's going to be taking place, at least not during the show. So expecting that would, just be unfair to the show, I think, especially after they laid down the ground rules anyway. That's just my personal opinion. Again, if you don't like it, just don't watch it. You know, that's how I feel about the whole thing. I thought this episode was really funny. We see Jen and Josh, right? Josh, yeah. Finally, they're dating. We saw dating, having a few dates, and then they basically, are happy. She's on cloud nine, basically doing all the things. And then, they end up, having sex. And then basically he kind of ghosts her, right? Which you could have expected. And I thought this for me was very, obviously very obvious, even though, even when Chris and I talked about it on the last one, he felt genuine, but clearly there was going to be something, right? And clearly now, knowing that they couldn't get the blood from Jen when she was in Hulk mode, Hulkmaster had to find another way of getting this. So clearly Josh was sent out. Throughout the episode, we see her really itching to speak to him, because she finally found someone who appreciated Jen, or at least that's what she thought she was. But before she even breaks down into all of that, we see some great moments that are just happening throughout the episode, which this show tends to do all the time. I thought it was really hilarious that they brought in the Muppets and then showed Miss Piggy breaking out from jail, just kind of illustrating what Jen's frustrations were going to be at that time. And she basically hulks out, and she doesn't hulk out, but the whole concept, she breaks down the bars and stuff like that, just uses the strength. And then, something that Jen could relate to. I thought that was a really nice touch. But we see Jen going through this, basically trying to speak to him. She speaks to Nikki, and she's just like, she just really wants to speak to this guy, because clearly she felt some kind of way about him because of the way that he appreciated Jen, right? So, and didn't really much ask for She-Hulk or anything like that. So that's why she gravitated towards her, because we know, especially after Jen has gotten her She-Hulk powers, we know that that is something that has been plaguing her, essentially, is that everyone wants to see She-Hulk. No one wants to deal with Jen, kind of thing. And now that she's found someone who is trying to speak to Jen, she's really, head over heels. So with all that said, we haven't seen Josh throughout the episode. At this point, we see that she gets a call, not from Josh, but from parole officer. There we go. I don't know why that was so hard to get out, but we see her go. He makes a phone call saying that Blonsky's his foot monitor has gone bad, meaning obviously they expect the worst because they feel like he's a criminal and all that. So they expect the worst. He basically is calling Jen in for backup so that she could be She-Hulk, again, alluding to everyone calling her for when they need She-Hulk or something like that, and not really checking on the character herself. So when that happens, they both drive up. We see some fun moments where she's just, She starts singing Mbop, which I thought was hilarious, and also a bop, like literally and actually. So that whole thing was cool. And then we see that they're pulling up to Blonsky's retreat, which is what his plan was to do anyway, to have this, you know, spiritual awakening and thing where he can help other people with their anger. While there, though, we do see some comic book characters who are actually real comic book characters. And again, this is something that I love that the MCU does. It really caters to, it really shows, not caters, I wouldn't say it caters to the comic book readers, but it definitely gives you that, it definitely gives you the nuggets if you are a comic book reader, right? So we see the introduction of Mamble, who is, his name is William Torrens, which is hilarious because Torrens, perfect, very on the nose, just like old school Marvel was and old school comic books were. He always used to go, fight pretty often, Daredevil. So again, showing, we saw Daredevil's helmet. Now we're seeing a character that Daredevil does run-ins with. Obviously, we know that that's coming. I think it's to the point now where people are getting really anxious because now it's been, I think episode 5 was the episode that they showed his helmet. And for us to now have gone 2 episodes now without him, tells me, I'm pretty sure people are going to be upset about that and not too happy. But we do get the return of the cameos with Blonsky coming back. So I'm pretty sure I can't, like, I would like to say that maybe the last 2 episodes, because I believe this is scheduled for 9. So I can't imagine we don't see Daredevil next. I know I said that before, but I can't imagine that the next episode doesn't involve us seeing him or something of that nature. Again, we're going to see the reason why he's there. I would love to know, because clearly we already know what's going to happen, but I do want to see what his reasoning is. But again, we see that fight between Manbull and I forget his name, how it's pronounced, but Agualia, something like that. But basically, he is a mutant in the comic books, and he's also worked alongside Iron Fist. But he is a mutant in the comic books, and I think that's really important. Not because, obviously, because, you know, with the introductions of mutants in the MCU, I'm not saying that they're saying he's a mutant. I just think when you start introducing more mutant characters, it's just going to make it more acceptable for when we finally get the X-Men. And because we've now, at this point, Ms. Marvel, if you guys haven't watched that, that's a spoiler, but I'm going to pause a little bit. And then, yeah, but Ms. Marvel, we find out that she has a mutant gene. My theory is that they're going to say the same thing about Namor being at least half mutant, or saying something about him being a mutant. And then you kind of just slowly build up that mutant thing. And then we had the big news on Daredevil with Hugh Jackman going to return, right? So, with all that being said, I think it's going to be, I think we're going to get, you know, just them slowly putting people in here and stuff like that is really going to, is really perfect in my book. So we see this character, we see that they gave him a nod to the comic books when they talked about him being a swashbuckler. Again, more comic book history, which I always appreciate and stuff like that. So we see Jen's car get smashed pretty much. The tow truck can't get there. So this is the excuse for keeping Jen where she's at, right? So I thought that was a good touch on how they did that. And of course we know we're going to get some comedy moments because Jen's already frustrated. She doesn't have any reception, and we have Blonsky, and now she's stuck there. So clearly the funny and stuff like that is coming that way, right? So I think pretty much we're going to, you know, we're knowing Jen is still down bad, trying to find Josh or talk to him for a little bit. She finally finds some reception, but it ends up being in the room where they're basically having a meeting, you know, and everyone's kind of looking at her and paying attention. And then she kind of gets invested because she's hearing all of the things that everyone's talking about. We meet another comic book character, Porcupine, who's also in the comic books, and Sorosin, who's another character, vampire. And we already know with the vampires, we're at some point getting Blade to be introduced, which I would like to do a video or a sound on that, on just the whole issue that's going on with that. If you guys haven't seen that yet, it is pretty interesting. Ali's pretty upset that he just lost their director. There's a bunch of stuff that's going on with Blade that's very concerning to me. And I think it needs to be addressed at some point, like as far as just the way that it everything is being handled with that. And I find it really interesting because we haven't had something like this. I know we've had director changes, but when we having like your main actor saying that, you know, he's very frustrated, and then you had your director leave, then you're also having insiders saying that the plot is bad and it was lackluster fight scenes, like, bruh, you cannot mess up Blade. But again, that's for another video. I'm gonna just finish this up about She-Hulk. And basically we see Saracen say going through therapy because he's a vampire, and clearly we're just giving another nod to vampires being in this world. They're all discussing their problems, and then walks in one of the guys who tried to wreck, basically pull the blood from Jen the first time, right? And she instantly hulks out because she's upset, and she doesn't want him to, she's like, you know, this guy tried to jump me, and she, you know, wanted to handle some more business because she's already frustrated. So, but we realize that he's starting to have a change of fate. They actually tell Jen to sit in the cool down in the chill out zone so she could like relax. She actually takes a seat and then starts discussing what her issues were and what her problems were about everything, and just how, like I was saying earlier in this episode, where she just is feeling very vulnerable because everyone wants to deal with She-Hulk and not everyone wants to talk to Jen, right? Like, and she feels like she said, and these were her words, basically feeling like that cool kid at school that, you know, that everybody wants to be around, except she has to deal with it being herself. And like I said, I talked about this endlessly throughout this. I think the way that they established her having to deal with this alter ego, in pretty much the same way that Hulk has, like, not the same way Hulk has to, where Hulk has two personalities, but this, she has one personality, but two different figures, and people think it's two different people. And that's what I think they did, a really nice twist on how all of that works. And she basically goes into her problems and saying why she has a problem with the way that people perceive her, and that she doesn't want to be this person that, you know what I mean? She wants to be able to have both, you know, and be cool with both, and people to actually care for Jen as much as they give the attention to She-Hulk. So, you know, she pretty much lets her feelings out on the table. And the group is really behind her, and they're telling her like all of the bad decisions that she made, as far as like, oh, you shouldn't have texted him this, or it just seems a little bit desperate. And then it was a really fun moment, right, with her, and just basically be opening up about what the issues were and stuff like that. So I thought they did that scene really well. Then they ask her, you know, why don't you, you know, make us comfortable instead of, you know, using She-Hulk as a protection thing. Let us know about, like, we want to see Jen, and would you like give us the honor of, you know, being Jen? And she takes a lot of that, and she says that it helps a lot. And that, I mean, that's just, you know, one of those things in life, right? Like, it feels like we should just talk about things, or not, you know, we feel like too strong or don't want to be vulnerable around people. And you have this powerful character who is now being vulnerable around these random people. It's just one of those things where it just, you know, it obviously, like, it's telling you, you know, you should probably talk to people about your feelings and stuff like that. And it can be hard, right? It's not an easy thing. Just talking about that. And I think she portrayed that perfectly, just being who she is and having to deal with the things that she has to deal with, and being able to discuss that openly for the first time, especially because we know she can't talk to Bruce right now because he's not there. And, you know, remember, she left him the message. And it's not something she wants to be vulnerable with Nikki about. So I think it's cool that she confined in these guys who basically are just like a bunch of random comic book characters who are just at the retreat with her. So I thought that was really cool. They basically, you know, give her, like she said, that it felt great and having that conversation. Then she finally goes into that steam room to like basically like zen out, and I thought all of that was dope and was fun. And then they gave her a letter about basically saying, like, you know, including Jen and She-Hulk, saying that, you know, they loved her. And Emil Blonsky's just there saying, you know, hey, that really, like, that was cool. And she's saying, oh, you know, that really worked. And basically invited her to come back, but she says she's not coming back unless he has some Wi-Fi, which, you know, probably not going to happen, because that kind of goes against what he wants to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I thought that was a lot of fun. And then we have, when the tow truck does arrive and comes back, we do see, something that if for the comic book fans, again, if you notice that the car is, the truck is named Slot, which is very prevalent because Dan Slot is the, one of the author, the writers of She-Hulk. And he wrote a ton of She-Hulk, and like, just to put that little, little note in there. And if you notice, if you pause, the driver's name is Dan. So him being Dan Slott, I thought was really cool. And then just, Dan Slott actually tweeted about the Easter egg. And, he said in the MCU, Donald Glover's character lives on a street named after me. And then he says, there's also a street in Venice named after me, an Italian version of me, a driver holding up a sign for me while he's waiting at JFK, and my family owns a drywall / construction company, and I've got a tow truck. So I thought that was really cool to give someone like Dan Slott that nice little, you know, give him his flowers and his special thanks for being in, being one of the like main writers and one of the characters, one of the writers who got She-Hulk to be who she is now. Like, and I think that's really cool that Marvel is showing appreciation to people like that. And it's not the first time. They've done it for some of their other writers too. Hawkeye, they did it. So I just think that that whole stuff is cool. But we see Jen leaving at a happier state than she was before she got there, showing that Emil Blonsky's rehab and hit what he wanted to do for his thing is working. And I think that was a really cool way of showing that. And just having a story where now you have the Abomination, who's this, you know, retreat person who can is helping with people speak about their feelings and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. And yeah, and overall, I thought it was a lighthearted episode. We do end this episode with what I said earlier with Josh. It says 3 days later, we find out what Josh was. And obviously, that was really predictable. I don't feel like anyone was taken aback or surprised by it, even though they try to make it seem like, oh, shocking. Like, it kind of was put in the air because it just seemed, again, to me that that was the only way you could pretty much do it. And the only way you could take her blood was if you had her in Gen form. And the only way to get close to that was they used an advantage that he clearly knew. And then now I'm pretty sure these last two episodes, we will get the reveals. We'll get, like I said, I'm pretty obviously at one of the two episodes, there's only two left that we're going to see Daredevil. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a dope episode. Like I said, I don't expect much going into these. I expect good, like, I just expect, you know, that I'm going to laugh from, you know, the random stuff that she gets put into and the situation she's in. And that's what this episode did for me. And one of the things I thought was hilarious, too, is that they mentioned when he was saying that he wasn't a matador when. And basically, he was like, nope, I did some in college. And there's a little sketch, those little sketches at the end always have like a little like something that happens in the episode or like something that they talked about. And I thought that was really cool. But overall, that was pretty much that episode, episode 7. Now, like I said, we only surprisingly have two episodes left, which is kind of crazy to me because it felt like this show just started yesterday. But yeah, two episodes. I'm interested to see where we're going to take this because I do feel we will see a jump off point, right? At of where this is, what's the direction for either Jen or the Hulk. Either one is in full in play, but being that we know some of the stuff from about Captain America and that being in the leader being in that, I wouldn't be surprised to see She-Hulk show up in Cap, especially because I don't think Bucky's going to be in there. So just, I know that every movie is going to have at least another second hero. We also just got word that this is today, actually, that Armor Wars is going to be changed from a TV show into a movie, which tells me two things. It could be one or two things about that. Either they just really enjoyed the script and feels like it's going to do it should be a movie, or they are going to boost the budget on there because we did get some complaints about She-Hulk CGI. So I'm knowing that they're probably not going to want that to happen for Iron Man. or not Iron Man, but the Armor Wars and just how that's going to be. And especially because the idea is to have a bunch of armor. So unless they are going to bring that budget up, or it was past budget and then they want to make some of that back, I think it would do well, depending on how much of the budget or how much they are going to spend, especially if it's promoted right and things like that. Because I do think Don Cheadle can definitely carry his own movie. He's done it before. Phenomenal actor. Obviously, we'll probably see Riri Williams in there and stuff like that. So you can make it good enough. It's just obviously you have to draw the audience and give them a reason to want to go watch that, especially if you're trying to make some money back. So I'm interested to see what all that is when we get some more announcements on it. But yeah, as for She-Hulk, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Again, thank you guys for always listening. For everyone who does, I really appreciate it. If you guys could like, review it on Spotify and Apple Music, those things really help the algorithm and just help the visibility and get to more ears and things like that. And that's it, really. But again, I'm dropping content for you guys as much as I can, dropping them as fast as I can, you know, just so that I can have them before the next thing comes out, because we have Rings of Power tomorrow. Yesterday I dropped the Andor episode. And then earlier this week we did the House of the Dragon. So if you're watching any of those things, go ahead and check those episodes out. They're all labeled for you. Besides that, thank you guys for joining me again. Until next time, Fire Team